Blog Talk Radio.
Truthful Tuesday, and we're going to kick it on up today. And, you know, it's my honor to be able to present this show to you every Tuesday because I'm always gifted with excellent, the top-rated experts in their fields, and tonight is no different. We got the chiropractors from Aligned for Life Wellness with us tonight, and they're going to be talking to us shortly. And you see, I done got off track already. So let me bring us back around for a second. Whew. I'm excited because I tell you, this whole process of presenting these different speakers every week and going into areas that we may not be aware of is just fascinating to me. And I'm so happy to be in this position to bring these experts, these holistic healers to you. But first of all, we're going to slow it down like we always do. And we're going to open correctly by honoring and giving thanks to our ancestors, for they're always with us. And especially on Tuesday nights, because we discuss topics and issues that are outside of that proverbial box that we always talk about. We're being exposed to and educated of these new ways of living, new ways of being. And so, ancestors, we know we stand on your shoulders for strength, for courage, for endurance, for all of everything. And we're so grateful, so grateful, so grateful. And we want to extend our love to the ancestors for accepting two additional family members actually into that realm. And we know they're being received with grace and ease. Angela Patrice Fowler Allen and Marvin Charles Baker, affectionately known as Bobo. And again, there are family members, and so we stand knowing that they are well received by the other ancestors, by those that guide us and lead us. And so we give thanks, we give thanks, we give thanks. Ashe. So it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So, audience, you know you're invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcomed, and every voice will be heard that desires to be heard. So our call-in number here is 516-531-9819. And if you care to speak live on air with us, you would need to hit the 1 on your device, whatever you're using to make that phone call in. And our microphones are extremely sensitive, and so once you are able to make the statement, ask the question, or make your comment to us, when you're not speaking, once your line is open, if you would just mute your line on your end so that we have the best playback possible, I would certainly appreciate it. And if you want to listen to any of our previous shows, you may do that by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. That's SandyRogers. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take us a music break just to energy again and get prepared for Dr. Fowler and Dr. Williams to come on and share with us. We'll be right back, you guys.
I just want to pick somebody up. Pick somebody up. I don't want to tell you how to live. I just want to give what I have to give. Maybe it'll pick somebody up. Mm-hmm. Smiling faces, warm embraces, lovers walking hand in hand. Revolution is no solution tragedy of man. Here's my plan. Hope I can pick somebody up. Pick somebody up. Honey, when you give your love to me, together we can make some history. Maybe it'll pick somebody up.
Why are you doing this thing? How come you're playing music for people? Getting up early in the morning just to catch a plane, a bus, and a train. Going insane, fanning the flame. So then why? Is it for love? Is it for self-expression? Is it to combat depression? Is it to make people happy? I mean, I love it. I can hear it. I can listen to what somebody smiles at.
But when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm surly, and when I'm bad. That sunshine turns to rain, and I just can't stand the pain. And I feel I'm going insane till I get back home again. When I think I can't compete, and I just can't find the beat. When I'm old, when I'm young, when I finally saw the sun, I sure hope we have some fun, spreading love to everyone. So before I tip my cup, I just wanna pick somebody up.
That is Raul Madone. I just love him, love his music, man. pick somebody up. And let me tell y'all, that's what these two doctors I'm getting ready to bring on, what they do. You think you in pain and you hurting and all it like that? Well, they don't go for that, man. They got you laughing. It's called happy healing. That's what I call it. So anyway, welcome back, everybody, to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. So tonight we're going to be talking about women's health and the spine. What does the two do together, right? How does one support the other? And how does the spine affect or impact a woman's health? Not sure if we think about it very much. But there is a direct correlation between the spine and women's health. So our doctors, our resident doctors, you know, we got all the specialists that are residents around here. So we're going to bring on the Align for Life Wellness team, the doctors and the personalities of Dr. Brandon K. Williams and Joseph Fowler Jr. And we're going to start this conversation to find out, with this being Women's History Month, they wanted to take an approach directed straight at women's health. So welcome, gentlemen.
Good evening, Sister Rogers. How are you all this evening?
Doing great, Dr. Williams. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. Thank you for asking.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Sister Rogers, as well. And let me first say thank you for acknowledging my sister. I miss my sister, even though it's only been a few weeks that she's transitioned. But we know that was God's will, and we will move accordingly. But again, I just want to thank you for that, and thank you for allowing Dr. Williams and myself to come on to your beautiful show and give us a chance to be with this superstar that we know as Sandy Rogers.
Dr. Fall, I'm going to pay you tomorrow, okay? you know, it's important that we acknowledge. I had an aunt that always told me, as long as we call a person's name, they're never dead. And I just found out recently that it wasn't just her saying, but it's an old saying that goes back like ages and ages ago. So she was just smart enough to have heard it and shared it. And so, no, it's important that we call our loved ones' names. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. My honor. So let's get it going. What y'all got? We're talking about women's health and the spine.
Yeah, so obviously this being the month of March, we wanted to choose this month to focus on women's health and, you know, just kind of educate the people on how the spine and particularly the nervous system directly correlates with and directly affects women's health. So when we talk about women's health in particular, you know, we can equate that to reproductive health of the female in addition to hormonal health. Dr. Fowler, do you want to add anything to that? Well, I'll let him add something later on. So So when we talk about, again, the spine, as chiropractors, as we've always said, our focus is the nervous system, which consists of the brain and spinal cord. So all other systems in the body are provided function by the nervous system, to include the reproductive system and also the systems throughout the body that secrete and produce hormones. So when we talk about, again, just overall health in general, again, it starts and ends with the nervous system.
Yes.
You know,
and again, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, that's it. That's all I was going to say, that, you know, we could not exist without our spine, our central nervous system, and so Dr. Williams is spot on.
So what I was going to say is, it's interesting, and I had never thought about it before, how our reproductive system will be tied in to the spine. You know what I'm saying? Like with the nervous system, it's like it would, to me, it would operate independently of everything else, you know? But it makes sense what you guys are saying. I just had never thought about it like that.
Well, if we break it down, Sister Rogers, the particular portion of the spine that will correlate, let's say, for instance, the reproductive system would be what's called the lumbar spine, which is the lower portion of our spine, which is, in layman's terms, is the low back. So the lumbar spine consists of five bones, L1 through L5. And in particular, it is the L3 region that directly correlates to the reproductive organs, whether that be for the male or female. As obviously tonight we're talking about, in this situation, the female organs. So when it comes to, let's say, for instance, fertility, we have had success in treating women with fertility issues. And of course, you know, we, in our office, we treat the entire spine because you are a holistic being. So we don't compartmentalize care when it comes to treatment of the spine. But obviously in this situation, our focus would be the lumbar spine, or in particular that L3 region, to ensure that there are no misalignments to that area that may cause dysfunction or disruption of the flow of information from the spinal cord and the spinal nerves, in particular, shooting off the spinal cord in that region that would be traveling to and providing function for those reproductive organs. So to answer your question, there is a direct correlation between the L3 region, the L3 spinal nerve, and the reproductive organs.
Ooh, learn something new every day. It just seems like, you know, it would be so separate from the nervous system. I guess that's why the cramps and all of that stuff can be so excruciating, because it is directly tied into the nervous system. That's interesting. So now you done got me really, really in deep thought around that.
Yes, and
yeah.
It can tie in and affect women at all, you know, reproductive ages, in all ages, whether they be during childbearing years or even during menopausal years. Again, focusing on that area and making sure that area is functioning properly and moving properly, and that those nerves are not being impeded in any way, shape, or form, can help with any symptoms, whether it be through childbearing and birthing process or through the menopausal process as well.
Yeah, and I want to expound on that a little bit, too. You think about it, as Doc said, he's talking about reproductive, but even something as simple as the muscles within the pelvic region, making sure that they get proper nerve supply as well as blood flow. One of the issues that women often have as they get older is they have
pelvic floor prolapse or vaginal prolapse where it starts to drop. One of the reasons why it does that is because it is not getting proper nerve supply as well as blood flow to that area. And with the lumbar spine being free and clear of interferences, it can help to either prolong it or prolong that from happening or not allow it to happen at all.
And that's with having the spinal adjustments, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, so that kind of ties in the reproductive organs, and Dr. Fowler mentioned the pelvic muscle. So now we're kind of tying the reproductive system to the musculoskeletal system, or in this case, the muscles of the pelvic floor, which are directly related and tied into how that reproductive system is operating and functioning from a musculoskeletal perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yes, it does. It does. So I want to ask, I want to go back to Dr. Fowler for a second because he brought it up. You were speaking of the pelvic region, and the prolapse is like a, losing the strength, perhaps, in that area. Is that common with women, or is there like a specific reason for it?
So, unfortunately, it is common. And now as far as the reason, well, first of all, as we all age, things just don't hold as well as they did when we were younger. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, but we're talking about women now, females. And so the muscle, just muscles in general, we were talking about pelvic floor. Let's just talk about, back it up a little bit, talk about muscles in general. Muscles, in order for them to operate properly, need sufficient nerve supply, and they need sufficient blood flow all at the same time in order for them to work properly. So let's just say if you take, for example, let's just say if someone breaks their arm and that arm is put into a cast, well, for the time that that arm is in a cast, those muscles are not being used because, you know, the arm has to be still so that the bone can properly heal, all that kind of stuff. And typically when that arm comes out of a cast, the muscles around that area have atrophied or shrunk. This is the same similar, and one reason, again, because they haven't been used, that is not getting the muscles are not drawing in the blood that it need to keep the girth, if you will, of that muscle. And so this is the same premise when it comes to pelvic floor muscles and the prolapsing of that. If there is a sustained amount of time of those muscles not getting proper nerve supply and proper blood flow, and it may take years because, as you know, as when we are younger, we're able to take on our bodies are able to take on and deal with trauma a lot better, quicker, faster than it is when we get older. And so when you have years and years and years of that region not getting proper supply of nerves and blood, then you can have that where those muscles start to atrophy and they're not able to hold on to the structures, the bony structures in that area as they once did, and so they start to slip.
Wow. That's so fascinating to me.
Yeah, so just kind of equate it to a foundation in a house. So as those muscles get weak, because the pelvic floor muscles are very much so, just as Dr. Fowler alluded to, the foundation of that pelvic region, and those reproductive structures. So as those muscles weaken over time, it's akin to that foundation crumbling, if you will.
Wow. Okay. I may come back to that, but I'm going to let you guys go ahead. I just find it so interesting. You know, it's something that, no doctor, no MD, medical doctor, has ever brought anything like that up for discussion or, you know, to advise and or warn of something going on, to perhaps recommend exercises or, you know, something to do. So that's why I'm really not surprised, but I am surprised, because I was not aware of this, you know, and I would venture to say that 9 out of 10 women, especially older women, have no idea about this and how it affects their overall well-being and health. So it's just, I just kind of got caught off guard right there. So, yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of women, as you said, Sister Roger, that's not even mentioned, or it's not even a thought until it actually starts to happen, when it actually starts to slip and detach, as Doc alluded to. And at that point, that they start talking about surgery, and, you know, to fasten, if you will, those muscles back to its original place of insertion. There are exercises that you can do to help keep the strength in that area. One is often talked about with women, but however, is not necessarily talked about with men, and that's doing Kegel exercises. Those muscles being worked, and that is the key. That's one of the keys to as I said earlier, any muscle, not only the proper nerve supply, blood flow, but that muscle needs to be worked or moved, because we are beings made to move, and when we don't move, not so good things happen.
You said men need to be concerned with that as well?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, men as well. The lack of not doing the right exercises in that area can also attribute to erectile dysfunction. Now, again, I know we're not talking about that on this show, but as men and women, we are extremely similar in our body, you know, the parts of our body, of course, except for some of our sexual or reproductive organs that we have, but just the general thought. Again, when we're talking about muscle, doesn't matter where that muscle is in the body. Certain things have to happen for it to continue to be able to work the way that God intended.
I just wonder why the medical doctors don't bring that up for discussion as people age. You know, like, I've never heard anybody say they had this discussion with their doctor, or their doctor was like, let me tell you about the possibility of your pelvic area prolapsing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I've never heard that discussion before.
Yeah, in my experience, it is often only talked about with the more senior members of our, the women of our society. And I think that does just women in general a disservice, because
yes.
Again, it's not just about having longevity in life, but it's about the quality of life. And so, mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that many of our seniors say they don't want is to be able to, somebody cutting on them or having some kind of surgery in it. So now we're getting into, like, preventative talk now. You know, if you can do preventative stuff to, again, delay the decay, if you will, then it should be talked about. And unfortunately, it's not, at least not by other the doc and I talk about it, but not by others, unfortunately.
Right, right. Whew, okay. All right, I'm gonna let y'all go on to you.
Because
you just blew my mind, man. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, as we're continuing this conversation about reproductive health, part of that, that is very important to not just females, but males as well, but particularly females, is hormonal health as it relates to the reproductive organs and women's health in general. And that's kind of where, obviously, the chiropractic piece comes in there. But, you know, at Align for Life, we have four principles, which are proper chiropractic care, which we're obviously talking about now. But also, one of those pieces is proper nutrition, in addition to proper exercise and proper rest. So from a nutritional standpoint, when it comes to reproductive health, hormonal health, what we put in our bodies matters. And oftentimes, especially in the age and times that we're living in now, you're seeing a lot of what I like to call alternative foods, like the soy products, the meat substitute products, you know, like your Beyond Meat, your Impossible Burgers, things of that nature, and all of those things. Some are, you know, soy-based, which can have effects on hormonal secretions and hormonal levels, particularly in females. So we always counsel our female patients to be mindful. Not saying that you can't have these types of things, but you want to be mindful because in high amounts, it can alter hormonal levels within your body. So especially if you're of childbearing age or even, you know, beyond those years, you want to be mindful of the type of soy products and other things that you consume because it can it can alter one particular hormone, estrogen. It studies have shown that it affects the natural balance of estrogen levels in the body. So you always want to be mindful of your diet. You want to make sure that you're getting a balanced diet, that you're getting adequate amounts of water intake daily. We always recommend that whatever your body weight is, you want to get drink half of your body weight in ounces. So, for instance, if you're 150 pounds, you want to get 75 ounces of water per day. As Dr. Fowler likes to say, not the colored water, but the clear water.
That's right. That's right. Not the lemonade, the tea, the Kool-Aid. But the straight water.
But again, yeah, straight water. And, you know, and then, you know, kind of going back to the chiropractic piece, so when we're talking about secretion of hormones, the hormones, our hormones are secreted and produced by, you know, the adrenal glands of our body. So where chiropractic comes in at is chiropractic is making sure that those adrenal glands are functioning and operating properly because, again, you have a nerve coming off the spine. That is attached to every organ of your body, every cell of your body. If you were to trace that nerve back to its origin, it would trace back to the spine. So that is why chiropractic in and of itself is so important when we're talking about the overall function and optimization of our bodies. Of course, again, proper exercise. Exercise is important. Because it's getting that blood flowing, it's getting that nerve flow going, it's making sure that your body is operating properly, is making sure that those cells are being optimized properly. And then, of course, proper rest. You want to make sure that you're getting adequate rest, because when we are in the rest stage, that is when our bodies are healing and repairing and regenerating themselves. So whether we're talking about the reproductive system or any other system in the body, that is when those systems are being repaired, if you will. So we always recommend 6 to 8 hours of sleep minimum per night. You want to eliminate distractions when you're sleeping. So when we say distractions, we're talking about the phones, we're talking about light, we're talking about TV, computers, you know, anything that would distract you from getting proper rest. Because, again, sleep is not just closing the eyes. You know, your body has to be able to get into that deep sleep, at which point the brain is at rest. Once the brain is at rest, the rest of the body is at rest, and it's in that healing and repair phase. If our brains are not resting, then our bodies are not resting, at which point you're secreting the wrong type of hormones at that point. When your body is in that what we call that sympathetic state, that is the state when your body is, again, not resting. We can say it's alert at a point in time where it's not supposed to be alert. It's supposed to be dormant. You're actually secreting the types of hormones that counterproductive to what you're trying to achieve at that point. One of those hormones is cortisol. And cortisol is what's considered to be the stress hormone in the body. So obviously you don't want your body to be in a stressed state when you're trying to rest, heal, and repair. Dr. Fowler, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, you know, a couple of things that you brought out that I want to expound on. One, the water, the whole water thing. Definitely, we are, the way God made us, we are 70 to 80% made of water. So the body is always asking for water, because we eliminate water through sweat, bowel movement, urination. If you get a cut, yeah, you see blood, but there's also water in that cut as well. So the body is always asking for water. And so Doc talked about the adrenal glands, and the adrenal glands sit atop of our kidneys. Our kidneys are the filtering station. And so if you're not having enough water, adequate enough water to actually help filter, then you tear the kidneys up, which therefore will actually aid in tearing the adrenals up. The adrenals is also that gland that secretes cortisol that Doc was just talking about. And so when you are just in a constant state of stress and your body does not have a chance to calm down, to relax. I mean, a good example of this stress is we deal in our office with a lot of personal injury, auto accidents, slip and falls, and stuff like that. So oftentimes our accident victims or patients will say, you know, I feel like this today, but I didn't feel like that yesterday. And that's because that adrenal gland, at the time of the accident, everything is heightened. The sympathetics are jumping or firing. Everything is heightened. And that adrenal gland is secreting adrenaline. And that adrenaline can block a lot of the things that you're feeling, the things that's in pain and all that. And so if you are constantly in a heightened state where the adrenal gland is constantly secreting adrenaline, then you can be hurting and not even know it. And a sustained hurt is no different than what we were talking about earlier about the muscles and all that being in a sustained ill health where they don't work. And so this again can be the same thing that happens with the adrenal glands, with the kidneys, with our bodies in general when there's not proper nutrition.
So let me ask you guys, we're talking about getting proper rest, and that means undisturbed, no lights, no sounds, no any of that, no phone near your head or near your body, and television off and the like. So if a person went to sleep on the relaxing, you know, the sound that they have now, either through your TV or through a computer, that sound that's supposed to help you sleep, is that also it would be included in that list of things you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. And because I'm glad you mentioned that, Sister Rogers, because those sounds are being emitted from these electronic devices, whether it be from the TV or from the laptop or from the phone, those electronic devices are emitting electromagnetic waves. And those electromagnetic waves, even though, you know, you may be getting the white noise or the green noise or the brown noise or whatever it might be, it's still going to prevent you from getting to that deep REM sleep. And that is the type, again, that is the level of sleep that our bodies require in order for us to achieve proper rest, healing, and rejuvenation, repair. A good test, a very simple test to determine if you are getting that deep sleep is if you're dreaming or not. Now, granted, majority, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but we can have thousands of dreams in a night. And most of us in a normal state will dream thousands of dreams in a night. Well, you may ask yourself, well, how can I dream thousands of dreams? Because most of our dreams are only a couple of seconds. And we typically only remember dreams in color. But the majority of our dreams are in black and white. So those are the dreams that we don't necessarily recollect or remember when we wake up. But however, if you're dreaming, you will have dreams in color on a nightly basis. And those dreams you will remember if you wake up. So if you don't recall having dreamt, or, you know, I've had patients that would tell me, oh, I don't recall having dreamt in the last 3 to 6 months. That means that you're not, even though your eyes may be closed, you're not getting that proper sleep. So, you know, we recommend not, utilizing any type of electronic devices in order to, you know, produce, you know, white noise or green noise or brown noise or anything like that. But there's some things that you can do to ensure that you're getting proper sleep at night. One, you want to ensure that your last meal is 3 to 4 hours before bed, because you want your digestive system to be at rest so that you can rest. Because what happens is if you've had a meal before bed, all of the blood or the majority of the blood circulating in your body is now directed towards your digestive system. And because that blood flow is now directed towards your digestive system, that blood flow is not reaching other areas of your body, and you're not able to achieve that desired level of sleep. Secondly, you want to make sure that you're not consuming any high amounts of sugar, caffeine, or anything like that that's going to keep you in a heightened state to which you're not able to relax and calm down. Thirdly, we've already mentioned no distractions like light, sound, you know, the electronic devices, things of that nature. You want to deaden all of that prior to attempting to go to sleep. And fourthly, you want to make sure that you are going to sleep at a decent hour. So typically, the best hours of sleep are between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. And that is, it's typically because that is how our bodies are wired based on the schedules that we typically keep as human beings, based on the 24-hour clock. The best hours of sleep for us are between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. Now, if we are far exceeding that and we're not going to bed nightly until, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., our bodies are now having to produce extra amounts of cortisol that we've talked about previously in order to keep us awake and alert. So our body is, you know, having to produce hormones to keep us awake and alert, thereby preventing us from, you know, resting and sleeping. So that is why that sleep pattern, not just getting the proper amount of sleep per night, but making sure that you're laying down at the proper hours per night is just as important.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I was going to expound a little bit on the whole having devices on or near the bed while when you are sleeping. You know, is bad enough that we often have these electrical devices near our bodies all during the day, either in our pockets or in our pocketbooks up against the body. And so, you know, that's doing a number on our body as well. But when you have those same devices on or near your bed, oftentimes these beds are made up of springs that will exacerbate that electronic or electromagnetic field. And so you think about your body laying across this bed, and so your entire body is now having extra electromagnetic waves coursing through your body over a 7 to 8 hour period. You know, at least during the day, perhaps when we're up, we can get away from, maybe we'll set the phone down or take the watch off or whatever. It may be some time during the day when we don't actually have those right up on us. But when you are stationary on this bed for 7 to 8 hours or more, or less, whatever the amount of time is, this is and when it's happening night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year, it is detrimental to our health and can cause a number of different issues. One being the experience that a lot of people have of losing weight. If your body is being negatively affected in this way, it can mess with your metabolism, which can slow it down, which again makes it harder for you to lose weight. I know now the fad is all these medical weight loss drugs that are out now and everything. I even heard of Oprah had a special or something yesterday or day before or something talking about her experience with some of this medical weight loss stuff. And so perhaps if the electromagnetic waves were not being exacerbated throughout the body, those weight loss drugs would not have to be taken. And so, again, I just wanted to expound on that and just, you know, for sure, keep the phones, electronic devices away from the bed, put them across the room, put them in another room if at all possible.
And, you know, that's a dear subject for a lot of women. So it's very appropriate for this conversation tonight. And
yeah.
It's just such a great aspect of living that we need to talk about. And the other day I happened to see a friend receiving a reflexology treatment. And she had her cell phone on her chest. And I'm like, oh, my God, take that.
Yeah.
It wasn't an intentional type of activity. She just didn't think about it, you know. And I was like, oh, my God, we really must pay more attention to every move that we're making because, like you just said, Dr. Fowler, you know, this stuff is serious, you know, especially when we have the quote-unquote leaders and superstars of the world promoting this other crap that, you know, I'll retract that word, these other products that, you know, probably don't serve the body very well.
No, you're right. And some of these, some people, Sister Rogers, have to have these medically induced medicines or have to use them to operate. I mean, you know, if you have some chemical makeup that where that is necessary, because there is a time and place for medicine. Let me just say that. There is a time and place for medicine. It just should not necessarily be the first place that we go to, the synthetic medicine. You know, you should try the alternative stuff first. But for those people that need that to just to live, you know, I'm definitely not saying do not use it. But, you know, again, if at all possible, we all should think about a better way, an alternative way, than introducing foreign or synthetic medicines into our body.
Yes, and because, as you mentioned, Dr. Fowler, this is a pretty hot topic right now. I do want to expound just a little bit because I've had several conversations about it just in the last few days, one of which being because, as you just mentioned, Oprah has had a special TV special on it. But, you know, when you're talking about these medical weight loss drugs and you know, I'll just go ahead and mention the name because it is, it's become a household name, Ozempic. Many may not know, but this particular drug, even though it's now been used for being used for medical weight loss, this is a diabetes drug. This drug was formulated to treat those who were suffering from type 2 diabetes. And what happened is once this Ozempic craze, if you will, first took off, probably about maybe about a year ago, a little shy of a year ago, it had gone so viral that those diabetics who were taking this drug to help control their diabetes couldn't get access to it because it was being, you know, it was flying off the shelves by non-diabetics. I say that to say this, you know, as it goes with our bodies, you know, our bodies operates under the premise that if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's one thing. The second thing is our bodies are so intelligent to know that if you are bringing it, ingesting it from a foreign source, an outside source, then our body does not need to do that task. So, for instance, in this case of Ozempic, again, this is a diabetes drug that is helping the body to metabolize sugar in the blood, glucose in the blood. It's also, you know, helping with blood glucose, as I mentioned, A1C and all of that. But all of which is being controlled by our body's pancreas. So that is what the pancreas does. It helps with glucose metabolism and the production of insulin and glucagon. Insulin is what helps the body to metabolize sugar in the blood. So it takes the sugar out of the blood. Glucagon does the opposite. If our blood sugar is low, it helps to kick up or increase sugar in the blood. So our pancreas is the organ that is the regulatory organ when it comes to blood sugar or blood glucose. However, if you have someone that has a perfectly functioning pancreas and they are taking whether it's this drug or any other drug merely for weight loss purposes, what then is the long-term effect on the pancreas and or other organs in our body? And that is something that we can't necessarily answer at this point because there's been no long-term studies, not to my knowledge at this point, that have studied that. So that is one of my concerns because a lot of people don't realize when you're taking these weight loss drugs, whether it's Ozempic or anything, well, I'm not going to say Ozempic is a weight loss drug because it's not. It's a diabetes drug. But if you're taking these drugs for weight loss purposes, people don't realize that you then have to take these drugs for the rest of your life if you want the desired result of the drug. So it's not that you take the drug, you lose your 25 or 30 pounds or whatever they say, and then you stop taking it. Because guess what? If you stop taking it, you're going to gain 50, 60 pounds.
That's right.
That's what people don't realize. You know, so now you're having to take this drug for the rest of your life. And my guess is, and this is my personal opinion, that if you're not diabetic, at some point you may become diabetic.
Yep.
I agree. So my concern about this whole weight loss craze, this medical weight loss craze, is that we do not have the data when it comes to taking the drugs of this type long term. You have folks that are having side effects. We're hearing, you know, rumblings of some of that going on. We're still very early in this process, so we don't have all the data and all the research studies to guide us on, you know, the long-term effects of these type of drugs. But I just want people to be mindful of that, especially our women, because a lot of this is being pushed on female population. So those are just some of the things to think about, you know. And I just had a conversation just yesterday with a patient, you know, and obviously, you know, when you're taking these types of drugs, it is recommended that, you know, you incorporate proper nutrition, proper exercise, things of that nature. So my personal opinion is if you're doing that anyway, why do you need these types of drugs? It's always best to go about things naturally rather than having to depend, and I use that word strategically, on these types of drugs in order to achieve weight loss or whatever it might be. Because, again, if you take it once, you'll have to continue to take these drugs in order to achieve that desired effect, because then the body has eventually will become dependent on these drugs in order for you to function properly.
Yeah,
or to function. I'm not going to say you're going to be functioning properly, but to function.
To function. What? And there's a difference between functioning properly and functioning. you know, one of the reasons why diabetes, high blood pressure, all that is seen as a life sentence when you are diagnosed with it is because of what Doc mentioned earlier about if you start taking something, supplying something to the body that the body naturally supplies itself, why then would the body start to produce that? So if you're introducing insulin into the body, be it metformin or any other in this case, why would the pancreas decide to produce the insulin in the right forms, the right amounts and all that? And so I won't go into a whole lot because, Doc, you said a lot, but what I will say is, you know, our ancestors, and I say this often in the office, our ancestors leave us a lot of clues. A lot of nuggets. And one of the things is we're talking about diet, and that is if diet is correct,
then medicine is of no use.
Right, right.
And so, right. And so, so you know, or no need. Let me say that again. If diet is wrong, is what it says. If diet is wrong, medicine is of no use. So, in other words, regardless of how much medicine you take, if your diet is wrong, it's not going to matter. But, however, if diet is correct, then medicine is of no need. In other words, saying that medicine is should be, I'm sorry, food should be your first medicine or diet.
Yeah. All right. Excellent points. I have a question. When you were talking about how when you don't use the muscle, and that was back in the beginning when you were talking about the stage of prolapse. So would that apply to the pancreas as well? If you're taking this Ozempic and you're telling the pancreas, okay, well, I don't need you because I got this medicine over here that's going to do the job that you were given. So does that do the same thing to the pancreas? Does it feel like there's no need for it, so it stops functioning in the way it was designed to function? It becomes lazy or just stop working because
yes.
of the medication?
I like what you said about lazy. Yeah, that's exactly it. Think about it like this, too. You know, when we work out or sometimes when people are having back pains, they will wear a back brace, right?
Right.
Even when back pain, they'll give them, you know, wear the back brace. Even working out, some people will. I know when I work out now, I know I'm going to be lifting some weights, I wear a back brace to help support my back. Well, we have core muscles, all right? A lot of people, when they think about the core muscles, they think about that six-pack that they will have. Now, some of us, it's probably like a 0.6 pack, but we're not going to go there. But these core muscles wrap all the way around to the back. It's not only the stomach, but it's also the back muscles and all that. If you wear that back brace all the time, why would those core muscles want to get strong? Because they're going to figure that you want to have that support at all times, so those muscles will get lazy. And so this is the same premise with your example of the pancreas. You know, why would it secrete or produce the correct amount of insulin? The insulin is the key to the cell. You know, Doc talked about blood sugar and all that. The key, taking it out of the cell, out of the blood into the cells and all that, if you don't have the right key, why would the pancreas want to make the right key if the supposed right key is being introduced into the body? So, yes, that will make it lazy for sure.
And just to piggyback on that, expound on that, obviously the concern would be proper functioning of the pancreas. But, again, over time, due to long-term use, we then have to be concerned with proper functioning of the kidney and the liver because, again, the kidney is the organ that is metabolizing all of this stuff, and then the liver is detoxifying the blood. So the pancreas would not necessarily be affected alone. There's concern for the proper functioning of other organs in the body as well. Going back to what we were talking about not too long ago, the adrenal glands, when we were talking about production of hormones. Well, as Dr. Fowler mentioned, the adrenal glands sit directly atop the kidneys. So if the kidneys are now not functioning properly, what do you think is happening to the adrenal glands? So, again, now you're talking about kidney dysfunction, potential liver dysfunction, potential adrenal dysfunction due to long-term use of this drug or any other drug for that matter. So, again, the data is not there because this is something that's, you know, recently come about. but I sort of utter to think what those long-term impacts may be down the road.
Wow. Well, it's amazing to me, and I thank Dr. Fowler with that quote that he gave us just a few moments ago. That speaks volume. If we could remember how important everything that we put in our body, right? Our thoughts, our food, the liquid, all of that. When we pay attention to all of that, how we can live such a higher quality of life versus, needing the the water with a chaser in it, needing
that color water.
or taking the pills and the like. You know, we have gotten into, I call it a microwave society. We want a quick fix, although we don't take into consideration that it took us a long time to get to the dysfunction of our body, whatever that could be, and that it will take time to then reverse it back to its natural state. But we want to fix right now, you may not have had water in 2 days and your head is hurting, so you reach for a goodie or whatever the aspirin or Tylenol or something like that, versus getting you some water, to eat the thirst in your body. So I really appreciate this conversation. And a lot of times women particularly will just keep going and going and going, and they're looking for the quickest thing to ease whatever discomfort that they're feeling without giving a thought to what they may be doing to actually create the issue in their body. So I really appreciate you guys talking about this, the different medications and things like that. I had never heard about that Ozempic either being being used as a weight loss. Whew. Well, I tell you.
Well,
yes, and of course, since now there's a few other drugs that have come on the market rather rushed, in my personal opinion. But again, it's all about riding that wave. So you're going to hear a lot more about it as we move ahead. There is gems now. I won't name any particular gems out there, but major market gems that many of us are familiar with that are now tailoring weight loss programs around these weight loss drugs. Even Weight Watchers is in the process of tailoring a weight loss program around these weight loss drugs. So because there has been such a national craze about it, it is now the next new moneymaker for Big Pharma. So just be mindful of some of the things that you hear coming about over the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, Sister Rogers, you mentioned that you had never heard of Ozempic as a weight loss drug. A lot of drugs that is introduced to us was actually developed for something else. I take Viagra, for example. Viagra initially was formulated to treat high blood pressure, but we know that it is basically a sex drug now,
Right.
And so yeah.
Ooh, be educated, child. Be educated. That's all we can do is to bring you the information for your benefit, and you get to apply it or ignore it or pass it on. It's thing is really kind of bizarre at times when you stop and you think about all of the effects these different products have on our life, our longevity, and the wellness of our body. You know, we must stop, slow up, you know, just rest for a minute with concern about the quality of life and what we're causing in these precious body temples, man. And so we have chiropractic care that can help with most of the issues, if not all, and I'll let the doctors correct me on that, on what you may be experiencing. They told you their services assist with reproductive health and reproductive care, fertility. And so as we learn these alternative or complementary practices that are available, let's utilize that versus running for a surgery or, you know, to get something cut out or take a pill, which you have no idea what the long-term effects are going to be. It's our time to be smart about our lives and our livelihood. All right, Doc.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Sister Rush.
No, I just said I was handing it back over to you.
Okay. Yes, and that is very, you know, very poignant statement you just made there. And I just want to mention, I want to piggyback on something that we were just talking about. And it kind of dawned on me because when we talk about, you know, of course, we're talking about women's health. Women who are in childbearing age, or women who might be pregnant, or, you know, carrying children, what have you. When we're talking about chiropractic care, we're talking about optimal fertility. We've had success in treating women with chiropractic care that have fertility issues. And you may ask, well, how is that? Because as we've mentioned at the top of the program, when we are addressing that disruption of flow of information between the nervous system and the reproductive system, then we are making sure that that system is functioning optimally. I recall a patient that we had a few years ago. She and her husband were trying to conceive for approximately 2 years and were unsuccessful in doing so, even to the point that they had tried IVF unsuccessfully. so it was recommended to her that she try acupuncture and chiropractic, and she came to me for the chiropractic piece. Within 6 months, she conceived.
Oh,
and she now has two healthy, beautiful children. So, again, but it's always funny, especially with, you know, we're talking about pregnant women. You know, one of the things you always say, or, you know, you always hear people say is, you know, make sure you're getting proper rest because the baby needs rest, or make sure you're eating right because you're eating for two or three or four or five, or don't be stressed because it's not good for the baby. But none of those things are good for the mom either. So whether you're pregnant or not, you want to make sure that you're getting proper rest, that you're eating properly, that you're not stressing. Because obviously if it's not good for the baby, it's not good for you either. So that was one of the conversations that I had with that particular patient. And we started this conversation prior to her conceiving. so that she would be fully prepared and fully knowledgeable for when she did conceive. And luckily, that was within just a matter of months of me having the opportunity to work with her. So, you know, when we're talking about reproductive health, you know, for us as chiropractors, it starts with chiropractic care because we know full hand how our nervous system works. And the fact that the nervous system, as we've said, is the foundation for all other systems in the body. So going back to what you said just a little while ago, kind of bringing it full circle, Sister Rogers, you know, as chiropractors, we have the ability to positively affect a myriad of different ailments that you may be going through. It doesn't just have to be neck pain, back pain, or headache. As I just mentioned, we've helped women with fertility issues. We've helped men with erectile dysfunction. I mentioned on a previous show that we did with you, one of my first chiropractic experiences was the fact that it cured me of my acid reflux. So again, chiropractic, because our focus is the nervous system, has the ability to positively affect just about anything that's going on with you.
Yeah, and you know, this time of year, this is another issue that a lot of people have, you know, women as well, and that is allergy or dealing with this pollen and stuff. And so, as Doc said, you know, as chiropractors, we can take care of a myriad of different ailments, one being sinus issues. You know, when the chiropractic is done properly, we have the ability to adjust your sinuses and allow you to not have the watery eyes, runny nose, all that kind of stuff. And so, again, this is something that a lot of people do not even realize, that is that chiropractors or chiropractic can handle something like sinus issues.
Yeah, no, I don't have any more.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I told y'all they'd be beating up on me. But no, it's so, to me, you know, like I go every other week because of the beneficial effects I have of it, how I can move around in little or no discomfort whatsoever. My sinuses are working properly and my body is working properly, and I have no need for any type of medication to relax this or to relieve that, but just moving around in my natural self. And I do make sure that I get the nutrition, get some exercise in there, especially now that the weather is getting warmer. I can get outside and get that sunlight along with the exercise. What I need to work on after tonight's show is the electronics, the sound that comes out of the phones and the computer with the, you know, the, what you call it, the white light or whatever, that is, you know, supposed to lull you to sleep. So I really need to work on that, and I'm glad I got something that I can concentrate on. And I hope you as the listeners have also heard something that have piqued your interest where you would choose to make a change about how you're living your life, if it affects you, you know, if it applies to you. I'm always willing to learn. I'm always willing to do something different when it makes sense. And not having any light, any sounds, any distractions just sounds good. So I'm going to give it a shot. I'll let y'all know.
Yes.
Another recommendation to replace the white noise and all of that is, I always recommend to my patients, if you're having trouble sleeping, try drinking a cup of chamomile tea before bed, and or Epsom salt bath with lavender, or you can do lavender oil if you have like a humidifier. You can put it next to your bed, like on the nightstand, with a few drops of lavender oil, or just sniff a little lavender before you lay down. Lavender has a calming effect, as well as camellia or chamomile tea. So you can definitely try those, and that should help.
Thank you. Thank you. I got them. All right. It looks like we have about 7 minutes or so left in the show. Any last words of advice? And we didn't even ask the audience if they had any questions. But got so involved in this conversation. So you guys really covered a lot, and great information. And, you know, I'm still kind of caught on a couple of things from the very beginning, but that's all right. I'll keep asking questions about it. So what? I'm going to pass the mic back to you.
Well, you know, I know our time is running short. And so when you're thinking about, when I say you, I'm not necessarily saying just you, Sister Rogers. I'm just talking about in general. When you're thinking about sleeping and going to sleep and why is it so hard to go to sleep, we need to start also thinking about heart health. One of the reasons why you're able to go to sleep at all is because your heart has to slow down. If the heart does not slow down, it is nearly impossible to go to sleep, or at least to have sound sleep. And so the question becomes, okay, why is my heart not slowing down? Could it be, as Doc mentioned earlier, that I've just eaten something within 4 hours or so of me laying down, and so the heart is pumping blood faster because it's dealing with the digestive process. Or is there something else going on within the body? And so, we have to think about that. The body is not a compartmentalized system. It is a complete system. So if something is going on somewhere, perhaps there's something going on somewhere else. And so, as Doc has said, we deal with the body holistically. And we look at the entire body, and that's what separates us from many others.
Amen, okay. Dr. Fowler, you know, and that is the proper key, is approaching the body from a holistic standpoint. And that is, you know, from a chiropractic perspective when we're talking philosophy. That is, in my opinion, what separates chiropractic as a profession from our conventional medical counterparts, in that we tend to look at the body from a global perspective versus others that will look at it from a very compartmentalized perspective. And when you look at it from essentially from those blinders, it prevents you from seeing globally what else could be going on. As Dr. Fowler just mentioned, nothing exists in the body alone. So if there's an issue going on in one aspect or one area of your body, what else is going on somewhere else? So you have to be able to approach it from that lens to truly, one, treat the patient from a comprehensive perspective, but secondly, in order to achieve overall health and optimization when it comes to your body.
I like that. I like that because the body is a whole and is not these segmental. And I believe that is a big area of opportunity for the traditional medical professionals to really kind of deal with, you know, like, if you've got a toothache, it's probably because something else, like you were saying, is contributing to that, and it's not just the tooth. So you can't just treat the tooth. You got to treat or find out what else is going on to talk to a person. And, you know, a lot of our issues involve the mental health aspect as well. So when we fail to take and look at a person holistically, and I was trying to spell it differently, W-H-O-L-E, and then, you know, because that's what it's about. It's treating the whole person. So I like how you just said that nothing operates by itself.
We do the patient a disservice when we compartmentalize the body and we just focus on one area. That is not true health and healing. We always say there's a difference between sick care and health care. Sick care is when you're merely treating and chasing symptoms. Health care is when you are operating from a holistic, global, and preventative approach.
That's why when you come into our office, which, by the way, we are located at 1800 Jonesboro Road in Atlanta, Georgia, 30315 in the Lakewood Heights community. But that's why when you come into our office, you may come in complaining about your hip, for example, but Doc and I will go touching your knee or your feet because the body doesn't, nothing exists alone. And so even though you are complaining about a particular area hurting, we know that perhaps that is referred pain coming from somewhere else, that pain that you're talking about can be a secondary condition as opposed to the primary condition.
Well, I'm a witness to that. That is so true. Yes, indeed. Well, you know, let's, Dr. Fowler, you were just making a comment about the address. You want to give the other contact information for you guys as well, please?
Yes. So you can reach us by phone at 404-383-1110. Again, that's 404-383-1110. You can find us on the World Wide Web at www.yourfinespine.com. That's yourfinespine.com. We have late hours. So you can get into us as late as 9 p.m. So just give us a call, and we will be delighted to take care of you. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Aligned for Life. That's A-L-I-G-N-E-D, the number 4, Life, L-I-F-E.
And since we're talking about, I was going to say, since we're talking about women, since we're talking about Women's Month, Women's Health, we say this to all of our patients, but our female patients especially love this, and that is, if you want to be fine, take care of your spine. We got you.
So y'all know who to go and see to get that fine body now, right?
That's right. That's right.
Dr. Brandon K. Williams and Dr. Joseph Fowler Jr. We'll see you guys next month, the doc, and we'll see everybody else next week. All right. I love you guys. Have a great, great rest of the week, and take care. Be safe. Enjoy this warm weather that's coming. All right. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.